Let's turn again to the book of Hebrews chapter 11, please. As Andrew has said, tonight we're on the precious redeeming blood. And I've wrote a new you always know the fundamentals and the foundational scriptural purpose of the shed blood never changes, but we have a few insights for you as well for this evening, so we appreciate you coming and of course getting under the sound of the word. Hebrews 11, please. Let's just lift out the one verse for the moment. Verse 8. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that even as we heard around the table, Lord, that you are always in charge and control of our lives, and not only our lives, but of all things. And we thank you, Father, that you are the sovereign Lord God Almighty, our Savior. You're our keeper, our sustainer. And we thank you, Lord, that all good and perfect gifts come from you. You've blessed us abundantly. You've blessed us in the assembly. You've blessed us completely. And so this morning, we ask you, Lord, that you would shut us in with your own self. And Lord, that you would have your Son to be seen. Lord, that your church would be edified. Your Son would be glorified. And Lord, that you would help us, Lord, in all things, Lord, to not only be hearers, but doers of the word. And so we ask it all, giving you thanks. Lord, remember the children and their children's church and the leaders, the creche and those who look after the babies. We pray your hand to be upon them and bless their hearts and encourage the leaders in the ministry, Lord, that they have set out to do for thy glory. And so, Father, be exalted in this place. For Jesus' name's sake I ask it and I pray. Amen. We have looked at what to do when the way is uncertain, and this is the third part of it. I was going to leave it and go somewhere else, but I just felt that we need to be here. We need just another week or so just to see. I was on with Pastor Glenn earlier in the week, and I was getting him to bring the word this morning, and I says, look, can you leave it? Because I feel we're not finished yet of where we are. Just leave it for another week or so to see how we get on. And obviously it's not a problem with him, but not a problem. So I want to just continue this on, especially this week. And we've looked at when we don't know where we're going or what to do or how to do it, the way to do it in our lives and everything in our lives. I could name a list of it, but you know what is your life, your walk with the Lord. You know, and we've looked at quite a bit. And you know, I thought I had everything written down. And last night, I was on the phone with Paul Bonas. And he was talking to me about a man. And I was on with him last night. It was in my study. And I got an idea that I needed to add to this. So I started writing it last night, just bits and pieces. And I got through the night and I dreamt I was preaching it last night as I was in my dreams as well. And I woke up with it. And I went into my study early this morning and started writing again. So I have a few things I want to put down that are even different. And I was saying, Lord, how do I fit this in with this? And you know, whenever we have an uncertain path, an uncertain future, an uncertain way, we have to understand that every day is uncertain for us if we think about it. Because we don't know what the next moment will bring. Things can spin on their head and things can turn around at the drop of a hat, as we would say. And what we thought was we were going one way, we end up going another. And sometimes we think we're walking this way, and by the time we get there, we're away over here. You know, so all of these things, and there can be obstacles. We look at Abraham with Lot and how God called Abraham out of the Ur of the Chaldees and said to leave his country and his kith and kin behind. And what did he do? He brought his nephew Lot. And through the time of that, Lot became a burden. Lot, as it were, was riding on his coattails. And I'll not go much into that for maybe in another week or two. I'll maybe do, depending on how I feel led, I'll maybe do the five surrenders of Abraham, which that would be one which we're touching on today. And so we'll do a shorter version maybe of that. But the five surrenders we'll maybe look at. But Lot became something different for him. There was a burden of it. And sometimes, as I said last week, we can have a burden. The burden of overthinking, the burden of worrying, the burden of family, of issues, the burden of church, the burden of whatever. Whatever your burden is. Your burden in work, your burden with your boss, you know. And sometimes we wonder, Lord, why is this not all taken away altogether, completely, all in the one fell swoop by you? But we have to understand that every day we walk and trusting in God for that day, because we're not told to worry about tomorrow, for that day, every day that we're walking, we should be learning of what God is doing with us. Turn with me to Exodus 23. Exodus 23. Listen to what the Lord says to Israel, getting into the promised land. Exodus 23, please. Let your eye just run down. Let's lift a few verses out, or a couple of verses out, for time's sake. Let your eye run down the chapter to verse 29. It's talking about the enemies that are in the land of Israel. And how is this going to work, that Israel get into that promised land? The enemies are in, pardon me, Canaan land before they move in. And it's impossible. They can't defeat all these enemies. How are these enemies going to be removed? How are these enemies going to be defeated? And how will that moving into the promised land, how will that take place? For even if you remember, when the 12 spies were sent in, they came back, 10 had a bad report. Oh, we're like grasshoppers in their sight, and they're too big for us, too strong for us. We can never do this. And, you know, and yet Joshua and Caleb both says, yes, we can and we will. We have a promise for this. We have a promise for this. We can and we will. And maybe as you look in to your life, to where you are, to whatever's coming against you, and we could try and list them off, but you know yourself. And you think, well, how will I ever get over this, through this, past this? How will this ever work out? How will it ever turn around? Where's the victory of this? Where's the promise I have yet to still be, to come to fruition on it? And maybe you're thinking like that. And we want it done today. How, Israel would say, how do we get that promised land? Look at the enemies in it and the strongholds they have. How do we make it to that promised land? Look, if you will, at verse 29. The Lord says he would drive them out in verse 28. And he says, I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beast of the field multiply against thee. By little and little I will drive them out from before thee, until thou be increased and inherit the land. So the Lord's saying, it's going to be in increments. It's going to be like a daily walk, a daily trust. Trusting for the day that will bring it to pass tomorrow. The Lord said it won't even be in a year. The Lord says that I will drive them out. Not you, Israel. You're weak. Not you, Ken. You can't do it. You're weak. You're helpless in the situation. But what you can't do, he says, I will do. But God's word to us this morning is, whatever the giant, whatever the mountain, whatever the problem, whatever the storm, whatever the upheaval and the trials and the turbulence and the tribulation and the terrible things that are going on maybe in your life, and you don't know how you're going to proceed, the Lord says, you trust in me. Little by little. Don't try to do, to think, to take in, to take over too much at a time. Little by little, he says, I will drive them out. And he even said to them, you're not even going to get there in 1 year. He says, but little by little you will, and you'll drive them out. Although it sometimes frustrates us, this is often the way God works. He works in our homes like this, in our lives like this, but Christian, this is the way God works in our faith, in our walk with Him. A friend of mine, Pastor Jennings in the States, used to say, I won't give you the whole bale of hay at once, because you'll choke on it. That's the way the Word of God and the teaching of God's Word should be. Line upon line, line upon line. Then he said, talks about precept upon precept. Here a little and there a little. And it all adds up and builds up. And God moves on our behalf, going before us, making the way where there seems to be no way. And he says to us to trust in Him. Put your whole trust in Him. And you and I might get frustrated because it's not now. It didn't happen already yesterday. You want it to be over and done with. But God says, in this, you're learning. In this, I'm showing you not only our weakness, but His glory, His wonder, His power, His strength, His ability, that we in the next trial, that we in the next problem, in the next season, for the next situation, we can still trust Him. Still trust Him. Notice, He clears things out of the way, little by little. And He says, until thou be increased. Is that word increased? Do you know what the word increased here means? Until you become fruitful. The Lord digs around and prunes up the vine, the branches of it. And He's looking for fruit for those who have never borne much. Then He's looking for much fruit of those who have already borne some. And He prunes. It's difficult. It's hard. But notice, He prunes the vine. He doesn't break the branch to cast into the fire. Not when you are in unity and oneness with Christ. And pruning can be difficult. But He wants you, Christian, He wants me to be fruitful. To be fruitful. Fruitful for His glory. Fruitful in the kingdom. God knew where He was taking Israel. Little by little, He said, I'll take you in. You see, it was easy in the sense to take Israel out of Egypt, you know. The blood of the lamb. A blood of a little lamb brought them out of Egypt. But it was harder to get Egypt out of Israel. It was harder to get Egypt out of Israel. For nearly all of them died in the wilderness, and it was a new generation that made it in. Think about this. Sometimes in our murmuring, in our stubbornness, sometimes God will hold back the blessing. Hold it from you and even hold you from it. He wants us to be fruitful for Him. He knew where He was taking them. He knew what He had in store for them. He knew when His people would be ready for it. And sometimes we think, Lord, I'm ready now. I told you years ago I had a wee bit of a ding-dong heated discussion with my beloved pastor. And there's a certain thing, and I thought, I'm ready. And he says, you're not. That's the way he would have went. No, you're not. That's the way he would have talked to you. There was no mambi pambi and putting his arm. Ach, son, listen, I just think, just wait for a wee while. He just told you, no, you're not. And when he was laying on his deathbed, just before, a day or two before he went unconscious, I was sitting holding him hand to hand, and I said, Bishop, do you remember I said one time, and I said, you thought I was ready for that? And he said, yes. I says, well, I wasn't. I says, you were right and I was wrong. And he said, I know. And then he said, but you are now. But you are now. And that took years. That has taken time. That has taken battles. That has taken effort. That has taken sacrifice. God knows when his people is ready. They needed to be fruitful. They needed to increase. They needed to grow. They needed to mature. You know, especially as Pentecostals, we speak of the former and the latter rain. Do you know what the former rain was for? To help the crop grow. And then the farmers waited and waited for the latter rain, was to help the crop mature. Holy Ghost was to, given was to help the crop mature. God knew that they needed experience for some of the things they were about to face. Think about this. God knew that they needed experience for some of the things that they were about to face. That's why every trial you go through, it's experience. Paul says, tribulation worketh experience. And experience hope. And a hope that maketh not ashamed. They couldn't handle what they were about to inherit. They couldn't see, but God could. They didn't know, but God did. And God said, I'll come and I will do it, but you follow my lead. You follow my lead. Puritan John Flavel said, grace makes the promise and providence the payment. It was in grace that God gives us the promise of eternal life. It's in grace that they would inherit the land of Canaan. But it was providence where they inherited it. Our salvation is through the providence of God. And if we're worried and struggling and striving about things we don't have or yet needs done, or how are we going to do, the providence of God in a little nutshell of his bigness is that he provides because he is sovereign. He provides. John Trapp once said this, God made meat before mouths. God made meat before mouths. You think of that. He made meat before mouths. We need to eat. And he made meat before mouths. He meets the need before you're there. He's way ahead of you. God wants his child to grow, to increase, to mature, to be ready. God wants his children to be obedient. Oh, there's a hard one, isn't it? To be obedient. To be patient. And to trust him. Abraham, go, he says, and I will show you. Where are you going, Abraham? I don't know. I've just to trust the Lord. Well, if you don't know where you're going, how you know you're going to get there? I don't. I'm just trusting the Lord. I'm just trusting him. God says, go to Israel and I will clear the way little by little. Step by step, brother, sister, day by day. He says, now I will clear. Listen to Isaiah 25. And in Isaiah 25 and verse 11, here's a wonderful picture that shows God clearing the way of his people's enemies, of his people's hardships. Isaiah 25 and verse 11 says, and he shall spread forth his hands in the midst of them, that is the enemies, as he that swimmeth spreadeth forth his hands to swim, and he shall bring down their pride with the spoil of their hands. God says, like a swimmer, get out of the road. Here it comes, get out of the way. Spreading his hands as he that swimmeth. Earthly enemy, get out of my people's way. Have you ever seen that verse before? You didn't know God was like a swimmer, did you? Got a few thoughts, as I said last night. And I was thinking about, what do we do when the way seems uncertain? And what sort of people should we be? Now, we all feel. This man too, we all. But we are to pray. Like Nehemiah prayed for his people. We are to obey in the face of tyranny. Like Daniel. We are to lead in the ministry which we have been put in. We are to lead even like Moses. We are to build like Noah in the ark. Here's the dimensions, Noah. Build the ark. Keep building. You have to keep going. You have to keep leading. You have to keep obeying. You have to keep praying. And we are to fight when things get tough. Like David. Dig deep. Stand tall. Fight like David. But then we're to serve like Martha. Serve like Martha. It's all good, all the spiritual stuff, but there's a practical serving which is actually, yes, practical and physical and natural, but it is spiritual as it's done us unto the Lord. We are to come and spend time like Mary, who sat at Jesus' feet. Brother, sister, when was the last time you sat at Jesus' feet? We are to learn to be educated and to educate like Paul. We are to try to defend like Peter. But above all things, we are to love like Jesus. Love like Jesus. You know, it's by faith, Abraham, it says in Hebrews 11 and 8, when he was called to go out into a place which he should, after receiving for an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. Listen, some people are crippled by fear, not faith. Some people are crippled with fear, and they're without faith. Spirit of fear cripples you. Here's what I've written. Fear is, what if? What if? But faith is, even if. Even if it happens, even if I don't get what I want, even if my prayers aren't answered the way I thought they should be, even if I lose the position, even if I lose the job, even if I'm hurt, even if I'm annoyed, even if I'm distracted, even if I don't like it, yet even if I will still trust in Him, still follow Him, still seek His face, still be faithful. You know, brothers and sisters, when we learn this, that there's something comforting about a billion stars held steady by a God who knows exactly what He's doing. Something comforting about that. I'll say it again, there is something comforting about a billion stars held steady by a God who knows exactly what He is doing. And we think it's us that knows. He is the God who knows exactly what He's doing. Here's what I wrote. Remember, the worst of storms pass by. The worst of seasons end. When the night is over, joy comes in the morning. Storms, the worst of them pass by. They don't last forever. And in that storm, you need to remember, we're not living here. We're not staying here. We're not in this position forever, whether it be a husband and a wife and a family problem. This too shall pass. Or whatever it may be. Remember, all these times God's kept you. In your unfaithfulness, God has kept you. In your weakness, God's kept you. At your worst times, God's kept you. Because He loves you. He's kept you. I think of this assembly. We're coming up to 9 years. I think from the building, God kept us. Didn't know where we were going, but give us a building. God kept us. The drive-in, God kept us. The warehouse, God kept us. The tent, God has kept us. God has kept this tent through every storm that's been thrown at us. For 5 years coming. Yes. God is blessed. The first person saved in the tent was Derek. Derek's very first person. I'll never forget it. I could go around and see different people have been saved, and I could think of others. And there's a man saved just last week. God is still moving, blessing. Even in stormy weather, God still saves. He's still God. And He's kept us. Every year for the 9 years, every year for the years in the building, every year before that, every year of your life, He's kept you. Why would He let you down now? Why would He leave you or forsake you now? January, He's kept you. February, He's kept you. March, He's kept you. April, He's kept you. May, He's kept you. June, He's kept you. July, He's kept you. August, He's kept you. September, He's kept you. October, November, December. Back to January, He's kept you. He's kept you. He's kept you. When you could have run away, when you could have hidden away, when you've done your worst and you've never been at your best, He has kept us. He's kept us. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday back to Monday. He keeps me every day, every moment, every second, every hour of every day, of every week, of every month, of every year, of all my life. He has kept me, and He'll keep you too. What did God's people say? Amen. Amen and amen to God. Wrote that last night. I have to admit, I was fired up by, I had a big Indian. Drove down to Carrick and went to my favourite Indian and I had a Vindaloo hot Indian. And I was on fire driving home. And I sat writing after. You could hardly sleep after that, could you? We're home early anyway. Listen, stress comes from trying to do it all on our own. I'm speaking to me. Am I speaking to you? Well, let God speak to you. Stress comes to you because you're trying to do it all on your own. You're trying to do it all by yourself. But peace comes from putting it all into God's hands. We need to learn. I need to learn. Not only once and then do it every day. Every day, because we go back to the starting block. We go back to page one and start all over again. And God says, what have you learned in these increments of step by step of trial and exhaustion that you're in? Cam, speaking to me. We're looking for our next step, and I have to trust him. The oversight has to trust him. Listen, I tell you, I have been exhausted to the point I could hardly move. Exhausted morning, noon, and night. You know, when you put the face on and you try and get the people or to visit people and you try to hospitals and you're smiling and you're, and inside you, you just want to lie down in the bed next to them and go to sleep. You're so tired, so exhausted. Feel your body weak and you're like, how am I going to do this? Praying, Lord, listen, I'm 60 this year. And who said amen there? I'm 60 this year. Usually in 5 years, men are looking to retire from work. A lot of them retire from ministry around this time. I'm looking to build something for God. We are looking to build something from God. There's no giving up in this watch. It's like Gideon. He says, anybody, he says, you're afraid, then go home. But we're carrying on in the work of God. Even in the dark days we live, in the trying times that come, have I wanted to give up sometimes? Yes. Have I wanted to run away and hide? Yes. I'm sure you have where you are too. Yes, and 1,000 times yes. But he's kept me. And he keeps you too. Keeps you through the sickness. He keeps you through your illness. He keeps you in the rough times, in the hard times, the difficult times, the wayward times. Come on, how many times have you went wayward? And it's like that hymn, when I would wander from the path astray, yet he will draw me back into the way. In the darkest valley, I need fear no ill, for he, my shepherd, will be with me still. Thank God for the shepherd's crook. So I got the writing this morning, and I wrote this. Faith, by faith Abraham. Faith dispels fear. Faith dispels fear. Faith strengthens the heart and encourages the weary soul. That's faith in Christ. Faith in the Word of God, that is. Faith compels us to believe for a change of circumstances. Faith causes us to behold that which we don't see and to receive that which we don't yet have. If we have a promise in the Word for it, listen, who believes they're saved this morning? Everybody around here putting their hands up. A few hundred people, I'm saved this morning. Are you saved by grace through faith, isn't that right? Aren't we? But we haven't received the full promise yet. We haven't entered the gates of heaven. We haven't received the glory of the kingdom yet. We haven't seen it fully established in us yet. But by faith, I believe it with all my heart. Why? Because the Bible tells me so. The Bible tells me so. Faith causes us to behold that which we don't see, to receive that which we don't yet have. And faith causes us to see the invisible and to expect the impossible.
to see the invisible and to expect the impossible. So here's, I haven't time to go through all the scriptural references for these, but here's seven quick points for you, and they are quick. First of all, no matter what you're facing and going through, and keeping your eyes on the Lord. First one, make your peace. Make peace with your past, so it won't disturb your present. Make peace with your past. Past hurt, past rejection, past anxieties and bitterness and all these. Make peace with your past so it won't disturb your present. Listen, make peace with your past if you're saved. And stop looking back at who you used to be, because I do that. Unless I'm giving a word of testimony, I do that sometimes. Oh dear, who I used to be. But then I go, thank you, Lord. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a... Shout it out, would you? See, for the amount of people in here, you should be able to bellow out those roofs. Therefore, if any man or woman be in Christ, they are a... All things are... Behold, all things are become... That's you. That's me. So make peace with your past so it won't disturb your present. Secondly, what other people think of you is none of your business. Let me say it again. What people think of you is none of your business. That's their business. Let them think all they want. That's their business. Let them think all they want. So what people think of you is none of their business. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you some scripture references for these. Just I can't look through them all, but you can look up them later on. Look at Galatians 1 and 10 in it. And Proverbs 29 and verse 25. So what other people think of you is none of your business. Listen, I'll also tell you, sometimes I'm out walking. And we'd be out for, I don't know, could be in a shopping centre. And you see people coming along, they're looking at you, and you're going. You're sort of going, is that a nice? Or is that a, look at your mom. Look at him. Where's him? It's none of my business. I don't care. I really don't. But you worry about that. You bring that home with you. You're concerned about that. Alison and I were in Port Stewart. What day was that? Near New Year's, was it?
Tuesday after New Year's.
Aye, the Tuesday after, before New Year's. Anyway, walking along the front of Port Stewart there at the promenade, and Alison's here. I have my helmet pocket, and she's linking me arm, or just taking in the sights, and there was a lot of people there. And this two come walking up this way, and suddenly the man does that. Right to here, and I go, and I had my hands in my pockets, and I go, get my hands in my pocket. Silly wanted to hit me a dick in the nose. He got there three or four times before I got my hands out. And I was like, and he said, Pastor Ken Davidson. And I went, oh, I'm in for a kick in here. And I says, I am. And he went, and I shook his hand, and he said, watch you all the time. Isn't that right? I don't know where to tell you this one or not. There's a while back we were walking through Castle Court and we're up above and the girls were with us. And we come to where the escalator turns and goes downstairs. And this guy's walking, this man's walking, this young man walking this way and he's nodding at me and I'm going, hi, yeah, you know. And I stop and get the girls down the escalator and as I'm about to go down to get into the escalator, all I hear is, Pastor Ken, Pastor. And this fella's running back again. And I thought, oh, here, hold on. I have to get my coat off here. And he comes up and he says, here, would you do me a favor? I says, well, what is it if I can? And he gets his phone out and he says, could I have a selfie with you? It's the truth. Is that the truth? And I went, what? He says, watch you all the time, and my mates are not going to believe it that I actually met you. And I go, you know, it's only me. And I'd happen walking around Lurgan Park with Alison as well. Here, can I have a selfie with you? It's all the perspective people have. It's a false economy. I'm just me. I'm just the man. I'm just that guy from Belfast who God took out of the muck and the mire and the sinfulness and washed in the blood of Jesus and filled with the Spirit. That's all I am. But people get this in their head of something else, and you can get it in your head what they're thinking. Sometimes, and a lot of times, they're not thinking anything off you or worse off you. It's none of your business or mine what people think of us. Thirdly, here's what I've written. Give it time. Don't rush in. Give it time. Time to grow. Time to see change. Time to find out. Keep your tongue. Don't speak rashly. Give it time. Here's your scripture. Proverbs 14 and 20. Proverbs 29 and 20. And Ecclesiastes 8 verses 3 and 4. I just jotted these down this morning as I wrote this. I have to move briefly and quickly. Fourthly, you ready? No one is in charge of your life or your joy or your happiness except the Lord and yourself. Don't let people live rent-free in your head. Here's your scriptures. Nehemiah 8 and 10. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And then you can do Isaiah 26 verse 3. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, for he trusteth in thee. Colossians 3 and verse 2. And then fifthly, don't compare your life, your ministry, your walk to everybody else. What God called you to is not what maybe God's called them to. What God has anointed them to do may not be what God has anointed you to do. How they get up and minister may not be how you get up and minister, but you do something else. Don't compare yourself to others. Don't judge them because they're not you. And don't judge them because you're not them. You have no idea what journey they have been on and what they're coming through. Second Corinthians 10 and 12. Galatians 6 verse 4. Romans 12 verses 3 to 7. We're near done. Sixthly, you ready? This is one for quite a number of us, if not all. This is to me too, by the way. I've just thinking in my head, I'm thinking all these down. Stop overthinking. It's all right. You ready? It's all right not to know all the answers. Abraham went out not knowing whither he went. It's okay sometimes when we don't know the answers. Because we don't know, we put the pressure on ourselves. We are not Almighty God. Ecclesiastes 11 and 5 and Deuteronomy 29 verse 29. And seventh and finally, you ready? Don't own all the problems in the world. You can't fix them. But you feel they're yours to carry. They're not. Cast them off. They're not. Neither does the world revolve around you. The world does not revolve around you, nor does the world rely on you to be perfect. Matthew 11 verse 28, Jesus says, come unto me all you labour and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Carrying the world's burden, so to speak. Carrying it. God's speaking to me. I've been carrying so much of, with everything, you've no idea the meetings we've been in, the disappointments we're having, trying to minister to the church, and people still, you can never, some people you just can't please them. You're going to have to learn that. I'm learning that. I've been learning that for 20-something years. No matter what you do, you can't help them. You can't please them. And I've been carrying it until I've been weak, wearied. And I'm sure you have, plus you have your own family problems and burdens you're dealing with. Notice Psalm 55 and verse 22. 1 Peter 5 and 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Graham, would you let the children know, come up please, thank you. For he careth for you. So what burden are you holding on to? What lot is in your way? What lot, as Abraham brought his nephew, is riding your coattails that God never told you to carry that, drag it, or bring it with you? What is it that's been holding on to you rather than you holding on to God? What is it you need read out, released out, to pray about that God, like the swimmer, Lord, would you remove everything that's not of you, that I can go on and grow and mature in the and bring forth fruit for your kingdom? Whatever it is, brothers and sisters, let's, by faith, trust in him. Say this and I'm closed. And this isn't a boo-hoo, sympathy me, please come and put your arm around me and pat me on the back. And I'm not into all that. I don't need all of that. But let me tell you, there's been such a burden for a long time on me with people coming, where are we going next? What are we going to do? Have you found anywhere? Have you got any? This is every meeting after meeting. If I meet them in the street, if I'm meeting in the church, if I'm meeting them anywhere, it's constant. And I've no idea of the work that's going on behind the scenes. I've no idea of the meetings we've had behind the scenes. And they don't mean any harm. They're just wanting to know. So I'm not saying anything like that. Please hear me. But for me, I'm at night, middle of the night, searching places, looking up, going for meetings, and some of the men have been with me some of the times as well, searching for places, scouring over every agency you could find, looking at fields and at buildings and with planners and with architects and with consultants, and being let down and being dropped like a hot potato, and you're thinking you've got somewhere, then they just discard you. Boy, I'm telling you, and you're just, after years of it, you're like, God, I can't do this anymore. Lord, I can't do this anymore. I'm tired. I'm weary with it. How is it so hard? Why is it so difficult? Well, here's the thing, brothers and sisters. Maybe we were just trying too hard on our flesh. Andrew, Jeff, Glenn. Or maybe that's just me. Too hard in the flesh. Instead of trusting in the Lord with all your heart, lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. And he shall. What's the words? What is it? See, first is like that. You know it. You know why? Because you've used it before. You've rehearsed it for yourself. And he shall. What? Direct our paths. Direct our paths. May God bless his word. Now listen, I'm not talking about sympathy. I'm just giving you an idea. We have to dig deep. This is a time when we need to get together in unity. This is a time when we don't need any turmoil to come in to keep the devil outside the doors. This is a time when we can't have we can't have stubbornness in our hearts. We need to be open to the moving, to the blessing, to the infilling of the Holy Ghost. This is the time, brothers and sisters. We are like at that, there's the promise. How do we get there? The Lord says, I'll move it out of the way for you. Just come step by step and follow me. And that's for your life too. God bless you. Time to come up, time's gone. The Lord bless you all this morning.